The fight for the future is now. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
Gentlemen, I'm away for one show, and the crew is already sloppy and basically just hanging by a thread and can't even play the War Room is Raw video intro. Embarrassing. So I have to whip them back into shape immediately as I come on air. But Owen Schroyer live with you on this Tuesday, April 28th. And not in studio today. I'll be with you for the first 2 hours. I got a couple of great guests coming up, and then Tom Papper. I do have some news that I want to get to, but for the most part, I've checked out of politics, just take a break from it all. And you're now seeing the stories on Drudge and other places. A quarter of Americans on the brink of a breakdown is what these studies are saying. So I think we're all getting a little stir crazy, and I think one of the biggest reasons for it is because deep down we know that this fear is illegitimate. We shouldn't really be behaving like this. We shouldn't be crashing the economy. We shouldn't be sheltering in place and being afraid to see friends or family or loved ones. But that's where we are. And it's depressing on some levels. It's upsetting. You go stir crazy. But so anyway, as I'm discussing with the crew what's coming up today, they're saying, hey, did you see President Trump at his press conference today? And I did not. And so they're showing this to me right now. I haven't seen it, but apparently President Trump, just with an absolute golden nugget today during the coronavirus press conference. I thought these things were going to be over by now, but you know, we have to keep the fear going. So here's President Trump tearing into a Yahoo fake news reporter.
Mr. President, overall, South Korea has done 5 times more tests than the U.S. per capita. Why is that?
I don't think that's true.
That is true. And you said this morning that the White House said the U.S. passes South Korea.
We'll be looking at this.
So to our Yahoo gentlemen, I just want to make it clear that South Korea's testing was 11 per 100,000, and we're at 17 per 100,000.
Yeah. So, are you going to apologize, Yahoo? That's why you're Yahoo. Nobody knows who that anymore. Go ahead. Let's
based
go,
on
Jeff.
The numbers I've seen,
that's why nobody knows who you are, including me. Go ahead,
Mr. President.
Just check it again.
You ought to get your facts right before.
But we have had had 14.
Okay, well, your facts are wrong. Let's go.
Just to clarify, wait.
Oh, poor little Yahoo News. Must be tough. That's the President Trump that we know and love. But, you know, I have to be honest. I think anybody right now that is a free thinker and a rational thinker that supports President Trump has to be wondering what their limit is. With this economic collapse being manufactured, with the Democrats taking part in it, Bill Gates taking part in it. I mean, we never elected Bill Gates. With the lack of justice in this country, we're demanding a pardon for Mike Flynn and Roger Stone. The lack of justice when it comes to the treason committed by Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. By the way, I'm amazed that nobody else is really reporting this. They haven't put the pieces together. A few people out there have, a couple of the folks at Daily Caller and Dan Bongino and a couple of the people. But folks, what has now come out, the latest from the Spygate Russian collusion hoax, ladies and gentlemen, there is a good chance that if or when we ever get to the bottom of this, we are going to discover that the quote unquote Steele dossier, you remember this Steele dossier? There is a good chance that we will discover at the end of this that the Steele dossier was actually written by Hillary Clinton herself. And while we've talked about that and the pieces were already kind of out there, like, yeah, it makes sense, folks, it's now pretty much confirmed, written by Hillary Clinton. That's right. segment late and then they cut it off mid-intro? Who is running the show back there? My goodness, ladies and gentlemen. Nonetheless, welcome to the InfoWars War Room is Raw. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer, with you for the next 2 hours. And then we will be hearing from Tom Papert. Great guests coming up today. With me, we'll have Josh Ellis from American Revolution 2.0, Outlaw Morgan, and Andrew Torba from Gab. And then Tom Papert will be taking over the third hour, and he's got great hosts coming up as well. But I kind of would like to take some phone calls. Quite frankly, I'm not going to have time. I could open up the phone lines basically for a segment, next segment. But I probably won't have time today, so I don't know if we'll be able to take phone calls with you. But I did want to say something. I think it's really sad what I'm seeing happening in America today. Willfully collapsing our own economy. Willfully giving in to fear and panic. And then even after the dust settles and we can actually get a clear picture on what it is we're dealing with here, we still don't think rationally, we still don't think logically, and we're still responding to this like children. And that's the best way I can really think to portray the latest response to the coronavirus outbreak, where people want to go around wearing masks. You have to do temperature checks. I mean, I got all the news of the stuff that's coming next. I mean, there. So it's like this. Even though we don't have Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation model projections, we're not dealing with models. We're not dealing with projections. We're dealing with data. We're dealing with actual data, which is already inflated. Because, you know, you get run over by a bus, they test you for coronavirus, and if you test positive, you know, that you died from coronavirus. Even though your body is flattened like a pancake on the cement, well, you had coronavirus, so, you know. But that's neither here nor there, because we now know on the level, on the numbers, it's about even as the flu when it comes to how deadly it is. Now, is it more contagious? Maybe. Is it more miserable? That seems to be the case. But as far as the numbers are concerned and what we know, our response to this is totally irrational and totally insane, quite frankly. And New York is the perfect example. Now, again, they're going to start coming out and saying that, oh, LA is real bad now. Look out. They'll probably maybe even request a Navy ship dock somewhere in California again, just to try to hype this back up. As they're trying to lay blame of this on Donald Trump, ignoring the fact it came out of the Wuhan lab. By the way, did you see this today? President Trump is cutting U.S. funding to the Wuhan virology lab where the coronavirus came from. And you might say, well, that's a great thing. Good. Why were we funding that Institute of Virology in Wuhan, China, to begin with? Why was Obama cutting deals with them? Why are people tied into Bill and Melinda Gates working there? Why is the woman working there also running a Facebook censor program and also set to profit from the test kits that they're all pushing? I mean, this is beyond insider trading, folks. I mean, insider trading is like a white-collar crime. These people penetrated your body with a man-made virus that is meant to lower men's fertility. It'll probably hit men that get it like 5%. It's just, you know, just knocking it down. You just constantly knock down the men's fertility. That's why they put the HIV strain into it. And now the studies come out, oh, men are more prone. Oh, it stays in the testicles. It attacks the testicles because it was ultimately meant to lower men's fertility, just like everything else they put in the vaccines and the water and the food. But I'm already getting off topic. And I have to be honest. I mean, I'm in an area where people are not wearing masks at all where I'm at right now. And it's really nice to see, Because in Austin, Texas, everybody's wearing a mask, and it's like a fool's paradise. And I'm no fool. And so it was pretty miserable. And so that's why when I see these studies coming out saying, oh, 1 in 4 Americans are at the breaking point psychologically. They can't leave their homes. They can't see their family. They can't see their friends. They can't go to a gym. They can't go to a ball game. They can't take their kids anywhere. They've been locked up with their spouse for too long. Suicide rates go up. Divorce goes up. Depression goes up. But see, none of that matters because the coronavirus has us in fear. But of course, it's not the virus. It's the media. It's the media's presentation of the bias. It's the media's presentation of the virus. It's the media's bias in wanting to blame it on Trump, making it out to be as bad as it can be so they can blame Trump. It's the media with their flashing graphics. It's the Fauci's telling you, oh, you'll have to be locked down for a year. It's the Bill Gates saying, oh, the only way to stop this from continuing is to have a vaccine. So then everybody thinks, oh, well, wow, the TV, you know, they've been so great to me. Thank you, television, for being so great to me and warning about how dangerous this virus is, because if I didn't have the TV on and I was just living my normal life, I would have no idea. I mean, nobody I know is really getting sick. I mean, maybe one or two people. I mean, I may have gotten sick, but I mean, I would have no idea about this deadly thing that could kill me if I leave my house. Like AOC told me, I had no idea. I mean, I could leave my front door and die. And so thank God the television is there to warn me. Thank God. And so it doesn't matter that the virus has been here for months. It doesn't matter I wasn't wearing a mask until yesterday. It doesn't matter that I wasn't panicking about toilet paper until a couple months ago. None of this even matters. It doesn't matter that my response to this is totally irrational. I'm scared. I'm scared that this virus is going to kill me. And so now we lock down everything and we say, you can't go buy groceries unless you get your temperature checked. And, you know, they'll find ways to make it nice and trendy for you. Like, well, we're not going to put the thermometer to your head anymore. You're going to get to walk through a diversity station. And the AI is going to take your temperature and measure your microbiome. And as long as it's up to Bill Gates standards, you can maybe, if you're lucky, get a loaf of bread and some water. And thank Bill Gates, because you see, you no longer have to live in fear of a virus. And so thank your television news. Thank your Dr. Fauci's. Thank your Bill Gates, because this is the world that we want to live in. This is the new world order. This is the brave new world. We don't need freedom. We just don't want to be afraid of viruses. And so you released a virus into the world. You then told me how deadly the virus was you released. You then said that you shouldn't be able to be held accountable in court for your viruses or your vaccines. But I'm so afraid of the virus you released that I'm going to give up all of my freedoms, all of my logic, all of my rationale, everything. Because at the end of the day, I just want to be able to go get groceries again and have a restaurant open or a ball game to go to. And I can only do that, like Bill Gates said, if I take the vaccine and just make sure that it's all okay. But don't worry, they'll kill your microbiome, that bad microbiome that humans have been surviving with for who knows how long, ever since we've been existing. That nasty microbiome that lives inside you, that's been so bad to you forever. Don't worry, folks. We're going to replace that, and we're going to have a synthetic microbiome brought to you by Microsoft and Apple and Kentucky Fried Chicken. And you're going to take that fried chicken and you're going to twist it sideways and you're going to stick it right up your candy ass, and it'll be brought to you by Bill Gates and Microsoft and Apple. And don't worry, because you'll be COVID free and it's going to taste great and you won't even notice that jagged microchip that just went up in you.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back into the InfoWars War Room. Is Raw Owen Troyer with you. great guests coming up here shortly. There is the great crew holding down the studio. Had to whip them into shape big time during the break, but they got their act together. Do not worry. And part of the problem was, quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, they had not taken their Brain Force Plus. And so I asked them in the break, I said, hey, wait, you guys are a little off today. Have you taken your Brain Force Plus? And they said, darn it, we forgot to take the Brain Force Plus. And I said, you know what? Take the Brain Force Plus, but let's be sure here that we're going to work hard today. And let's go ahead and hit it with the Turbo Force too. So the whole crew knocked it out in the break. They got the Brain Force Plus and the Turbo Force. And so guaranteed they're going to be mistake free for the rest of today's transmission. Of course, you can get the Brain Force Plus and the Turbo Force at InfoWarsStore.com and InfoWarsStore.com only. That's right, folks. InfoWarsStore.com. And hey, if you've tried the Brain Force and the Turbo Force before, you know how much it works. You know the focus that comes with the Brain Force Plus. You know the energy that comes with the Turbo Force Extended Energy. And that's why you've given it a 5-star review at InfoWarsStore.com. Not many products get the 5-star review. You go look at the supplements and the ratings. It's about every single one is 4.9 stars. And it's like impossible to have the perfect one. Like one person gives it a 4-star, you can never go back to 5-star. But I mean, 4.9 is, that's pretty much perfect, folks. And that's what our supplements at InfoWarsStore.com are rated. But you can read all the reviews for yourself. Try the Super Male Vitality. Try the Bodies. I like all the supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. And people always tell me how much they love them too. When I'm out on the streets at rallies doing interviews, people come up to me and tell me how much they love our supplements. Of course, the Nascent Iodine X2 was one of the originals and the game changers at InfoWarsStore.com. I know for me personally, this is one of the first supplements from InfoWarsStore.com I started trying about 5 years ago, just before I started working here. And it really is a game changer, folks. The Nascent Iodine and just what it does to turbocharge all your natural functions, it just really cannot be matched. It cannot even be explained, quite frankly. So that's all at InfoWarsStore.com. Okay, I do have some news I want to get to here before my guests start coming on. And so, but let me just say this because I'm not sure I really was able to put my point home. What really upsets me about the latest response from the coronavirus, because I expect the Bill Gates and the Anthony Fauci's and the CNN's, everybody to play their role to build this thing up as the worst thing ever and, you know, to come in as the hero and blame Trump for everything. So, you know, I'm not surprised by that. I expect that that's their role in this whole thing. What I don't like to see is Americans just immediately willing to give in to fear and not even thinking logically. And I think that it comes down to this, and I hate to report this, but logic is dead. Fear is king. Now, I don't want to sound like the pessimist, glass half empty kind of guy. It's just this is what I'm seeing. And I guess my fear is that at this certain point, at this certain level, if a percentage of the population is that willing to go along with fear and not even think logically about something, like, hey, this virus has been here for months. Hey, they said wearing a mask was bad. Hey, they said 2 million were going to die. It's now like 50,000. Hey, the sun has always been known to help you stay healthy. Now they want me to stay inside. We don't even think logically. We just think, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. The television told me so. A Democrat told me so. I'm going to mask up, glove up, sanitize up, and that's even if I leave my house. And it's just sad because it'd be one thing if it was just kind of a by choice, but they've been forced into this. And now we all have to suffer. The economy is suffering. People's sanity is suffering. Can't even get a haircut. I mean, yikes. I mean, everybody knows how good you feel after a haircut. And you don't even have that simple pleasure. And while that is sort of tongue in cheek, it's a microcosm of about all the things we're suffering for. The people that can't even feed their children right now are wondering how they're going to pay their mortgage. They don't know. They're living in anxiety every night. What's going to happen to this? And it's totally illogical. Folks, we could be open tomorrow and nothing would change. And they know that. But see, again, I expect the Bill Gates, the Anthony Fauci's, all these people, they want the digital microchip. They want the forced vaccines. They want the surveillance grid. They want the medical health tyranny. Why do we want that? Why are we going along with that? Now, I'm going to try to stop right there, and I'm going to get some of these headlines. The coronavirus enemy remained invisible because the Trump administration didn't make the effort to see it. That's Yahoo News. Can you believe how despicable these people are? And who told you this is exactly what they were going to do? And so you're starting to see some trends change here. But, you know, the president needs to understand this. They're never going to stop lying about you. No matter how much you try to play ball with them, no matter how much you try to get them on the winning team, no matter how much you play patty cake, no matter how hopeful you are, they will never relent about destroying you. So why are you still playing ball or patty cake with these people is what I don't understand. The CDC recommends social distancing for pets, as pets are now testing positive for the coronavirus. Oh, well, my. I mean, in fact, you shouldn't even have a pet anymore. Turn your pet in because it might have coronavirus. Another Navy ship has been said to have a coronavirus outbreak. Boy, the issues with the Navy just continue. Masks, temperature checks mark new normal at restaurants. How about no? So I haven't really had to deal with this. Like I said, where I'm at now, nobody really cares about a face mask at all. But man, in Austin, Texas, it's a damn thing. And I don't wear the mask. I'm not going to wear the mask. And so I've had people say, hey, they won't let me in a store or a restaurant unless I have the mask on. I'm like, really? They didn't question me. I walked in without it. So there's maybe just a level of confidence, just an air of confidence. But man, let me tell you, if I start getting heckled to wear a mask at grocery stores or restaurants, I mean, folks, you know what I'm going to do. I'm going to film it and I'm going to give it right back. And, you know, I don't want to be obnoxious, but I'm not going to be a damn slave. Thermal imaging cameras could play a critical role in keeping people safe from COVID-19. Oh, thank God. It's like, oh, we now have a smart antenna, artificial intelligence. We just need to stick it up your rectum. But don't worry, because it will play a critical role in keeping you safe from viruses. So yes, just take this smart probe. Yes, insert it anally. Mm-hmm. There you go, right there. Yeah, it's just going to go right in there, and then you'll be safe from viruses.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. In a battle
for the soul
of humanity. It's the War Room
with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
All right, before I get my next guest, Josh Ellis, on, American Revolution 2.0 rally is happening nationwide. Let me just hit a couple things just real quick. Apparently, Mike Pence is running around hospitals without a mask on. And so, of course, the left is just in a total tizzy over it. And now Mike Pence is the new virus truther, they're calling him. I think they're still working on a nickname for that. Another thing is, and well, I hate to pat myself on the back here, but if you've been listening to the War Room since we started almost 4 years ago now, we're actually on season three, in the middle of it, coming up to on the end of season three, beginning season four in September. But if you've been listening to the War Room for a while, you may remember a segment I did a long time ago talking about space wars. And this may have been when the Space Force launched, but folks, here's all I'm going to say, because you just saw the Pentagon come out about UFOs. The Navy has confirmed UFOs. Folks, let me just tell you something right now. Go out on a clear night. Go find some place in the middle of nowhere and a clean night. Look up at the sky. You can see the stars. If you look up at the sky for 30 minutes to an hour, you're going to see multiple UFOs. You may even see something explode. Okay? Now, what a way to bring in my next guest, Josh Ellis, American Revolution 2.0. Now, Josh is involved in so many things, and I really want to focus on this idea that he has for American Revolution 2.0. But first, he's really been hammering how these quarantines, if you want to call it that, it's really like martial law lockdown more than it is a quarantine, but they don't like to phrase it that way. But Josh has been highlighting how these are totally unconstitutional and how governments should be really approaching this, or how we the people should be approaching our governments about this. So, Josh, you've highlighted here as part of your American Revolution 2.0, which really you're involved in so many different things. I was just looking at your bio, but you've really been focusing on the unconstitutional executive orders we've been seeing, quote unquote, quarantines. And it was really amazing me going through your bio, seeing just how the 1 through 5 have really all been in blatant violation right now. So just talk about when you were studying that, how shocking it was to realize, wow, they've really suspended all of our rights, at least the first 5 for sure, in the middle of this coronavirus.
Number one thing that I realized early on, because my father-in-law owns a restaurant northern part of Wisconsin, or northern part of Illinois, just on the border of Wisconsin. So they first got the restaurant bans, and I knew immediately that didn't seem right, that they could just close those down. So I started looking into Illinois law, the powers granted to the governor under emergency powers, the Illinois Department of Health, and the powers granted to them. And none of this lined up with what was legal per Illinois law. I knew there was, you know, obvious constitutional conflict, but it's gray area at that point. You know, the Fifth Amendment, I've talked to lawyers since, and really where that violates is in the compensation, because you've essentially taken over these people's businesses, and you're telling them that they are not allowed to make money. And anytime a government does that, they owe compensation for that.
Isn't that compensation actually supposed to be with like an increased interest or something?
It's supposed to be fair compensation. It's supposed to be fair market is how it's worded.
But so if you're making, if you're making at a restaurant, if you're a restaurant owner and you're making, let's say $50,000 at a small restaurant, and you were just forced to shut down, let's say for a month, you lost $50,000 in revenue. So the government essentially would have to cut you a check to replace that if they're telling you have to be closed.
That's what my take on the Fifth Amendment is. I've talked to some constitutional lawyers and other guys who have studied this, other lawyers who have studied it. They don't focus specifically on that. There's always the debate there, but there is case history on having done that. That would be where that goes. I mean, I'm not a lawyer.
Well, I would say no matter what the legal philosophy is, I would say if the government claims that they have, which they don't have, but let's say the government claims that they have the right to shut down your business, well, then you should have the right to say, well, then you have to compensate me for the revenue, because the government doesn't have the right to shut down your business. So if they're inherently claiming that right, they have to claim some form of compensation. A kind of a dry comparison is eminent domain. I mean, if the government comes in and says, oh, well, we've got a project here, we're taking over, well, then you're going to pay me for my land you're taking. I mean, it's kind of a crude comparison, but I think that logically it's the same.
No, it is. But here's the big problem with that. So who's the government and where do they get their money? All you're doing is shifting your money from one pocket to another. You're not being compensated by some business who makes money separately. It's your tax dollars that are going to pay you. And this is phase two of American Revolution. I want to make sure.
Yes, but Josh, didn't you see the Los Angeles Lakers got a bailout?
Right. But who's going to pay that bailout? We are.
LeBron James.
I mean, my point is, I think at a federal level, we need a law in place that holds these people immediately accountable because they have immunity. That, you know, as a governor, you're not going to sue the governor directly. You're going to sue the state, and the state's going to pay it. Well, the state paying it means we're paying it. So we're paying ourselves. And that's a huge problem.
What do you make of all the rallies, or not even rallies per se, but, you know, people in California going to a beach, getting arrested, mothers going to a park, getting arrested. I mean, I see that and I'm sick to my stomach. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that we could sit here and focus on. But I mean, this is just blatant tyranny right in front of our face. The cops going along with it. I mean, what goes through your mind when you witness this?
Well, number one, these police aren't and the governors aren't either. And some of them have even admitted it. They're not educated on the Constitution, which they took an oath to uphold. I mean, that's kind of disgusting in and of itself. But that's one of the reasons why I did this giant national movement, because, you know, I didn't want to see as much of that happen. I wanted people to be able to band together and send a message to government first together, because, you know, there is protection and there is safety and strength in numbers. When you're just by yourself, if you just open up your business, a cop can come by and shut you down. It's easy. You know, that's the easy pickings. You use the sheep to tattle on the other people. You know, that was Nazi Germany tactics. You know, and then you've got police officers who are either ignorant of it or just following orders. You know, for the most part, I don't think they're bad guys, but they're not upholding their oath of being an officer.
So we've got about 90 seconds left here. Talk about American Revolution 2.0 and just the idea behind it, the mission behind it.
The mission behind it is to set precedent equal to or greater than the historic precedent that these tyrannical governors have set. We, the people, have to rebalance between the people, the state, and federal control. We have the most power. We have the most responsibility and freedoms, and we need to start telling them that that is the case again, because they've been eroding it for years, decades, centuries. So we really just need to take it back. You know, go to AmericanRevolution2.org. That's the number 2.org. Sign up. We'll give you updates on the May 1st event, so you can be there, you can be safe, and we can send this message the right way.
Yeah, let's talk about that actually coming up here, May 1st, and how there's rallies happening around the nation. May 1st is going to be a big day. But, you know, folks, I've now been to 3 rallies. I've been on 6 flights at least since this coronavirus outbreak, and I'm good. I'm good. And that was you know what? Here's another silver lining about this. It's like, have you ever walked around outside and had to cough? And now it's just like, oh my gosh, I don't want to cough. It's like, I want to say before I got sick, but now it's like, oh, you got sick and you dared go outside? Like, oh my gosh. So like, that's the new thing. It's like, you're just bad. Like if you've ever been sick now, you have no rights. Well, that's not America, so no.
The War Room, Infowars.com/show.
The InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Josh Ellis is with me, American Revolution 2.0. Got a lot of rallies coming up this weekend. You know, in the break, I was looking at some stuff, and I saw, well, specifically on Mike Pence not wearing a mask. And I saw some of the responses to this. And again, it's just the lack of logic. Again, logic is dead. Fear is king. So they're all saying, oh my gosh, Mike Pence, how dare he not wear a mask? And so Pence simply responds, I've been tested. I was negative. Oh my gosh, but you're just as, that test is effective as the last person you've been in contact with. And you don't know, that test could have been wrong and you could have been positive and you could have gotten it since you've been tested and you could get it and then give it to somebody else. And you don't even know. Oh my gosh. Oh, 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 oh my God.
just like total hysteria. I mean, can you imagine your mind operating that way? Can you imagine approaching everything from that perspective of fear? This is the direction we're heading. And again, I'm not trying to sound pessimistic. In fact, I'd like to sound optimistic because most people aren't buying into this. But folks, if enough people buy into it and the establishment forces it and we accept it, then that's going to be the new norm. And it doesn't matter how long the virus has been here. I'm wearing a mask now. And so you have to wear a mask now. And it doesn't matter that people have been having rallies for a month now and the virus isn't spreading and they're going home healthy and their kids are going home healthy. No, you're not allowed to do that, and we're going to censor you from doing that. And so, Josh, this is a big weekend for American Revolution 2.0. There's rallies happening across the nation. Talk about some of these rallies coming up this weekend.
Well, we're really shooting for, at this point, at least 100,000 per state capital. You're talking like, you know, 5.2 million people, basically. Standing up. I mean, I'd love to see it even bigger and hopefully, you know, more people from your audience hear it. But we're also focusing on making sure that that exact thing you were just talking about doesn't happen. You know, I don't wear a mask when I go outside the house. I will be wearing one for this just so mainstream media can be quiet about it for once. You know, we send the message that we're responsible Americans for the Constitution, and you can't fight the Constitution. Like they can go off on sidetracks about, well, the disease wasn't serious enough. All that says is if a more serious disease comes around, then it's OK. But that's the issue. It's never OK. You can't. It's horrible to think of, and it would be a massive tragedy. But if half of the population of the United States were to die from something, it's still not an excuse to remove our constitutional rights.
Well, and see, and that's where the common sense clicks in. If you see people dying all around you and your grandma just died and then your mom just died and then your sister just died and your dog just fell over dead, well, now you're going to be like, okay, something is going on here. I'm staying away from people. I'm staying inside. That's not happening, folks. This virus has been here since the beginning of the year. Most people have probably gotten it and gotten over it. Now that it's been here for 4 months, yeah, a lot of people know somebody that's had it. Maybe even sadly someone that's died. A lot of people know people that died from the flu. Right now the numbers are about the same. But again though, the frustrating thing about this to me, Josh, is we're just losing this concept of self-government. Like, oh, I'm not responsible enough to decide whether or not I should go outside or not. Oh, I'm not responsible enough to decide that I shouldn't eat a piece of dog crap on the sidewalk. You know what I mean? It's like, do people just accept they're stupid? Is that what it is, that Americans are just like, oh, I'm pathetic and stupid. I've been watching TV and eating bonbons my whole life. Please, Bill Gates, just run the world for me.
No, I don't think people are that stupid, and I don't think most Americans think they are. I think what is going on is specifically, and that's the issue, right? So government has continually been pushing this message of we'll protect you, whether, you know, no matter what angle you come from. This one is in regards to your health. We'll protect you. What they're not saying, and what the hidden message there is because we think you're too stupid to take care of yourself. That really is the hidden message. And I think if Americans understood that that's what these leaders who are trying to do this are saying, they'd be offended instead of like, oh, thank you. But when you have a group of people like this is the one responsibility government really has. It's to educate us. They have failed so miserably at that, saying wear masks, don't wear masks. It's no worse than the flu coming from who early on. You know, all of these false narratives that come out. Masks work if you wear them correctly and use them properly. That for anything, like I do mold and asbestos and lead and silica, work with that stuff all the time. I don't put a mask on so that the asbestos doesn't get my sneeze on it. I put it on to protect the stuff coming into me. But they're not educating people on the correct things. Why would I assume that they can take care of my health in any other way when they can't even do that?
Well, look, and I would even sit here and have the conversation with an elitist or one of these elitist leftists. And I would say, okay, fine. You know, if you want to make the argument to me that half the population or a certain percent of the population is too dumb,
I mean, I couldn't necessarily argue with that. Okay. But the problem is when you start lumping in people that do exhibit proper and responsible self-government and then take away their rights, it's like, look, if they just spread this whole fear about coronavirus and then they brought out a vaccine, fine. If people want to line up to get the vaccine, that's fine. They can go do that. But you can't force everyone to have a vaccine. You can't now force us to carry papers to go move about the country with a health document. So that's where we're trying to draw the line here. And I'm just not seeing enough Americans, quite frankly, stand up against this. I'm not seeing the intellectual pushback against the whole, okay, I'm now going to put on a mask even though the virus has been here for months. Oh, we're now going to shut everything down even though the virus has been here for months. Hey, it's shown that the sun is going to be good for you, keeps you healthy. Oh, just avoid the sun at all costs. Stay inside. I mean, there's not enough of an intellectual pushback in the media on a broad spectrum for my taste, Josh. And I know that you're kind of on a different angle of this, but it's something that's really just sitting in my craw. But don't you think that these rallies happening and people not going home sick is kind of – I mean, really, it's like us being guinea pigs. Like, okay, we're going to go out in the world and we're going to congregate. We'll shake hands and we'll see how it goes. So really, I think we should be getting medals of courage and freedom for braving planet Earth during the coronavirus. I mean, we are true heroes. I mean, AOC said it's a death sentence. I'm getting emails from Democrats. It is a death sentence if I go outside. Well, I have now defied death for 4 months, so I must be immortal.
Yeah, I mean, I just had a left-wing news source did an interview with yesterday, and that was the first thing they asked me. Well, don't you think that if numbers go back up for this thing that you'll have some responsibility in that? No. I mean, I don't decide and order people to do things. I have brought up a point. People are getting on board. You know, people make up their own minds. And here's the way I look at it, right? So I used to live with my parents. It doesn't look like you do anymore. I don't anymore. How did that happen? Well, I didn't have to get kicked out. Some people do. I moved out on my own. I was responsible early. But when you have a 40-year-old living in your basement, you don't fix that problem by doing his laundry and cooking dinner for him. That's not going to get him out. You kick his ass out of the house. All of a sudden, he figures out how to get a job. He might not have the best place in the world to live, but he figures out a place to live. You know, it's amazing what happens when people have to figure something out for themselves. So and that's what government has done continually by eroding our rights. Right. They've taken us from this place of like, oh, we're just going to take a little bit, little bit, little bit. And they've moved it into where they have now created a nanny state. And we have a bunch of 40-year-olds living in their parents' basement. Kick them out and they'll figure it out. People are not that stupid. If you make them figure things out for themselves, when life is on the line, it's amazing what somebody can figure out. And I just trust the American people where I don't think our officials do.
Yeah, that's the human spirit. We've got 50 seconds left here again. So, Josh, it's this weekend, Saturday. You're calling for Americans to rise up and go to their state capitals, demand. Not, I mean, I don't like the reopen thing because they can't close it to begin with. Just demand, hey, look, we're free. We're opening up our business. You're not stopping us.
Yeah, that's really why we went with the American Revolution 2.0, because this really is, it's a new age of revolution. It's a peaceful revolution, which is going to be the most effective means of revolution in this case, meaning a reform, not an overthrow. But I want people on every side. Like, the Constitution is not a right-wing matter. I was called an extreme right-wingist for believing in the Constitution. I think if people understood that Democrats are considered not for the Constitution,
well,
by their own
it's hard
party,
to argue history or logic with a liberal. Josh, thank you so much for joining us today, folks. We'll be right back. Second hour of the
War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
Look at this doctor going public. It was in Idaho and New York and California and Mississippi and Texas and Michigan and just everywhere. And these two guys have a whole bunch of clinics across the state. And they're well known, and they're telling you stuff you already know is true.
96% of people in California who get COVID recover with almost no significant sequelae or no significant continuing medical problems. COVID-19 is one aspect of our health sector. What has it caused to have us be involved in social isolation? What has it caused that we are seeing the community respond to? Child molestation is increasing at a severe rate. We could go over multiple cases of children who have been molested due to angry family members who are intoxicated, who are home, who have no paycheck. These things last a lifetime. This isn't about a seasonal flu. These are things that will follow these people and affect them in a negative fashion for their life. And these are secondary effects from COVID. And these are for me talking to ERs, talking to my doctors, and talking to people across the country and finding out what they're seeing. Spousal abuse. We see people coming in here with black eyes and cuts on their face. It's an obvious abusive case. These are things that will affect them for a lifetime, not for a season. Alcoholism, anxiety, depression, suicide. I talked to Donnie Youngblood and various people in the community. I've asked them, how are things going? Suicide is spiking. Education has dropped off. Economic collapse. Medical industry, we're all suffering because our staff isn't here and we have no volume. These are all real things that I'm seeing every day. I don't read about this stuff. I'm seeing it in my clinics. We have clinics from Fresno to San Diego, and these things are spiking in our community. These things will affect people for a lifetime, not for a season. And I've talked to, you know, the head of the CDPH. I've gotten their opinion on this, and a lot of the leaders in Sacramento. And we're all in agreement, but we need to have Governor Newsom in agreement with us to lift this ban.
It's this stuff that'll kill the New World Order, folks. This is real medical information. It's everything you've already heard here. It's everything you always knew. When you were a little kid and got sick, you could be 70 years old. You know, Mama said, go out and get some sun. And then we're told today, arrest people that give hope and say that.
Arresting someone for sitting alone on the beach, tell me how that arrests the spread of the coronavirus from an epidemiological point of view.
Yeah, I wasn't referring to that. I actually don't have the specifics as to why that happened.
The Bill of Rights, as you well know, protects Americans' right, enshrines their right to practice their religion as they see fit and to congregate together, to assemble peacefully. By what authority did you nullify the Bill of Rights in issuing this order? How do you have the power to do that?
That's above my pay grade, Tucker. So I wasn't thinking of the Bill of Rights when we did this.
COVID-19 is going to be in our lives for at least the next year until there's a vaccine. And we need to figure out a way to get back to as normal of a life as possible while this plays out in the background. The solution is not to lock us into our homes.
Let's see, Thomas Malthus, 260 years ago, said, herd the poor into buildings with no sun so they get the vapors and die, get rid of them. And he's the father of modern eugenics. By the way, anybody can look at what I just said. You can search Malthus, Malthusianism. You'll be like, holy hell. But Jones says some crazy ass stuff. Man, I'm not the crazy person. I'm just telling you what these crazy ass people are up to.
Depopulation should be the highest priority of foreign policy towards the third world. Henry Kissinger, 1974.
There's a need for a new world order, but it has different characteristics in different parts of the world. Now, none of this may succeed this time, but this, to me, is sort of the outline by which someday, in the next few years, a solution will emerge.
And let me tell you, we're all in danger, because if you want to follow right down from Plato to Malthus to Galton to Hitler to Bill Gates, the apple don't fall far from the tree because it's the same tree.
Into the second hour now, ladies and gentlemen, with two great guests coming up. Outlaw Morgan is with me now, Andrew Torba coming up, and then the third hour, We will be joined by Tom Papert, and he will have some great guests. Before I bring Outlaw Morgan on, ladies and gentlemen, you noticed, what did I tell you about an hour ago? I said the crew took their Brainforce Plus and their Turbo Force, and there'd be no more mistakes. That was a huge gamble on my part. And I'm happy to say it's paid off so far. So you can see firsthand, folks, the crew, two major blunders right out at the start of the show. Took the Brainforce Plus, took the Turbo Force, clean record, no mistakes, error-free transmission since then. The results are undeniable, as they are for all the supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you all day about how much I love the BodEase for achy joints, achy muscles, inflammation. It's my favorite. You can go read, though, the thousands of reviews on all the products at InfoWarsStore.com. You don't have to take my word for it. But man, I mean, hand sanitizer is in. And we've got the innovative, original, organic Emmerich's Essentials hand sanitizer at InfoWarsStore.com. Not only is it fully organic, not only does it have a great scent like peppermint or lavender or eucalyptus, it's also in an aerosolized spray bottle. You think, wait a second, that's innovative. Anytime I want to get hand sanitizer, I got to get that kind of plastic bottle that I have to squeeze, and then a big glob of crap comes out. Now I'm rubbing my hands. Oh, it just spilled on my leg, and now there's too much, and my hands are soaked. So then I keep rubbing and rubbing, and now they're totally bone dry because all the alcohol. Folks, you don't have to experience that anymore. Emmerich's Essentials hand sanitizer at InfoWarsStore.com. An act of God, a miracle. We were already in the process of making this before the hand sanitizer craze even started. And then, boom, comes out available right when the stores run out of hand sanitizer. So don't worry about standing in line at a grocery store or a whatever to get your hand sanitizer. Just go to InfoWarsStore.com, select your favorite flavor, get all three in the package, the Emmerich's Essentials Organic Hand Sanitizer at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Outlaw Morgan is with me now. Stunning that they have allowed this thought criminal to still be on the internet, folks. This is one of the most, I mean, disgusting individuals you're ever going to, I mean, the mouth, I mean, curses like a sailor, loves guns and freedom. I mean, I don't know why he's so popular, but he is. And so Outlaw Morgan is with me. Finally, Outlaw Morgan is back on the InfoWars War Room. Outlaw Morgan, I would imagine you're getting a little stir crazy during this lockdown.
No, I would honestly say it's beyond stir crazy at this point, because I feel like I'm literally a drone looking down into everything that's happening. You know what I mean? Like I'm able to process various categories that are going on. And honestly, it's beyond stir crazy. I really feel like the common American right now should really be questioning the severity of the blowback and the repercussions that are coming from said virus, which was, you know, funny that Obama and Bill Gates both funded the Wuhan lab. And it seems more like a plandemic than a pandemic, which doesn't seem like a pandemic at all. If we're talking charts, graphs, pies, ratios, percentages and numbers. There's so much happening right now that, like, I feel like I try to ignore it as much as I possibly can, because it's literally making me more than just stir crazy.
Yeah. Like seeing people in masks, or like the anxiety, like it's not even, I mean, it's anxiety for some people. For me, it's quite frankly, it's just outright rage that I feel when I'm about to be asked to wear a mask or have my temperature taken, or have I taken a vaccine? I get enraged because I'm not going to comply with that. For others, it's like anxiety. It's like, oh, first it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so scared of this virus. And then, oh my gosh, am I going to be let into the store if I don't get my vaccine? It's like, oh, it's like, I don't want to live in any of this. But you're right. You can't get away from it. But, you know, you said something that was key there. You said Americans should be questioning the response to this. You know, I would take it a step further, actually. I would say, if you're an American and you're not, I mean, obviously, you know, you and others and this audience have been questioning things for a while, but I would say if you're an American and you aren't questioning everything right now, then you really are really just far off into the fields, a sheeple grazing at CNN. I mean, you must really have gotten lost in the rolling hills, because if you're not questioning everything right now, I mean, it's just like you said, there's so much going on.
Well, you know, the sheeple are what terrifies me the most. You got people that have a depth, a certain capacity that they can feel with information. They can pick things apart. It's like a game. It's like a science game where you just, well, what if this, what if that, and that, well, that will get you going. But then you've got the Karens of the world out there right now, literally clapping, cheering, boot licking, and doing all this shit, thinking the government, thinking of it, you know, oh, I'm glad the police went out
now
there.
See,
and arrested.
What did I say? I said, Outlaw Morgan curses like a sailor. Look, I don't know the kind of drunkards and degenerates that tune in to the Outlaw Morgan podcast, okay? But this is a family audience, and Jesus is listening. So please clean it up. Thank you.
Did I cuss?
He doesn't even realize what he cusses.
Did I say a cuss word?
Yeah, I mean, you can't say S-H-I-T on air.
Okay, all right, all right.
No, yeah, I get it. You were thinking about Hillary. You were taking Hillary earlier. It happens.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, there's seriously derangement going on out here. There's consequences going on out here. I'm watching videos for most of the day today where I'm watching farmers come out and say that they have to like euthanize most of their harvest. You know, like they've already killed so many chicken. It's like we're talking astronomical numbers. They've killed chicken. Now they're scheduled to start taking down cattle. And we're actually importing beef from Africa at this point. So it's like Tyson chickens broken up. And I don't think people actually understand. I'm going to refer to them as bread lines. I'm not going to call them food banks. A lot of people call them food banks. But right now we have bread lines that are forming. There's a lot of stuff that it has potential to really get down to some serious gravity. Where you're not going to be able to buy certain things from the store. What if we do have a food shortage, et cetera, et cetera? There's a lot of things that like you need to put in perspective. I'm not telling you to panic. I don't want to be a fear monger. That's not my job. That's not what I'm here for. But what I am saying is that there's a lot of things where I think the common person, if they even tried remotely a little bit, would start to speculate that there's something way bigger than a virus that has a fatality rate that it has. I mean, we're talking something to the tune of, like 0.015%. You know what I mean? It's crazy that things have escalated to this position. And again, go back to the Karens, go back to the people out there that are like, oh my God, thank you so much, government. And they're literally creating snitch programs, this, that, the third. Like I'm literally watching a Reich get set up out of this. And I know that seems a far-fetched, but it's not. It's not. And of course, then we look at the Bill Gates scenario. We look at like you brought up vaccines, et cetera. I don't think being vaccinated by someone that advocates for depopulation is a great idea. That's just my take on it. I don't want it. Sorry.
Well, see, but how dare you think logically? But again, it's like that's OK. So we just had the story. This is just in Minnesota. And I don't know the total numbers of this, but we just saw a story in Minnesota. 61,000 chickens euthanized. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't have all these numbers in front of me, but let's just play a game here. And the crew, they're quick. They'll be able to pull some of these numbers up. But how many people starve to death every day anywhere in the world? I mean, say Africa, say America. Mm-hmm. But let's just say how many people starve to death every day in the world? Well, you're talking tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. Yep. Well, how many people could have not starved to death if those chickens were allowed to be harvested and packed and shipped and delivered for people to eat? Oh, well, we can't do that. There's a coronavirus going around and you might spread it if you feed those children. So there you go. 25,000 people starve to death every day. And we're up here just throwing food, perfectly good food, down the drain because of this coronavirus fear, folks. It's illogical. It doesn't add up. We're literally killing ourselves, and it's exactly what Bill Gates wanted.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Yeah, like wizards and pirates and mystics and It's a, oh, I'm live. Oh, hey, welcome back to the InfoWars War Room. We are with Outlaw Morgan right now. And I actually wanted to ask Outlaw Morgan what it was like in Florida. It's tough to measure because there's been responses differently around the nation, just from governments and from people, and at different point of time, different responses as well. But through my travels and experiences, it's odd, but Texas has been the most panicked about this, and that's probably because I've been in Austin. But from the people I'm talking to in Florida, there doesn't seem to be much of a panic down there. I'm in Missouri right now, and there's not much of a panic here. Nobody's wearing masks, but darn, in Austin, Texas, everybody's walking around in a mask. So maybe that's because it's a blue liberal city. I'm not really sure, but what are you seeing in South Florida down there?
Well, I mean, in South Florida, I literally been out and about today. I've been to Walmart, I've been to Home Depot, I've been to Lowe's. And, there's people that aren't wearing masks, and there's a handful of people that are wearing masks. I don't see people down here going into panic mode. And what I also don't see down here is people becoming the snitch, you know, for the state, becoming the collaborator with the state, like you would see up in some of the northern places that are predominantly blue. New York City is its own animal. I don't even consider that a part of our country, but it's its own animal. So it's like up there, man, the things that I've been hearing about New York City, speaking of that, is pretty insane, is about the hospitals and stuff out there. And but down here in Florida, people are kind of going about life as normal. Now, where I do see it being affected is like if I go to some places where you see mom and pop operations, businesses, etc., those parking lots are empty. But the conglomerates, the ones that predominantly run everything, like Costco, Sam Club, Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, those places are staying really busy. I mean, there's people all over the place. And I've only seen one place, that's Home Depot, that literally sets up the line and like makes you walk in and trying to like really control people. Everywhere else is pretty much free for all. So Florida's doing its own thing, and I like Florida because of that.
And again, I mean, look, we know the data now. We know that this isn't going to kill 2 million people. We know that it's not that deadly. It's about on the same level as a flu, but a little worse. And it's just like, oh, no, but we just have to totally suspend all of our freedoms and live in fear from now on and just totally change the way we approach life and everything we do. And I'm just not settling for that. And it is a weird phenomenon, though. What is it about some cities like Austin where everybody's walking around in a mask, and then you have other cities where nobody even seems to be thinking about it? I mean, I know, because I go out without masks in Austin. There's people that shoot me looks like I just, you know, hacked up a dog outside of, you know, a church or something for not, you know, wearing a mask in public. It's like, I mean, it's just a certain level of hysteria, but I feel like they like it. You know, I feel like some people like being a part of the hysteria. It makes them feel like they're a part of something. It makes them feel like they're on the winning team, and their victory is dominating you, making you wear a mask, calling you up for the police for not wearing a mask. So, I mean, I don't even know how to register that on my scale of just observing human behavior than just pathetic, really.
I think personally, it comes down to mentality, right? Like, you've got people that are looking at the graphs, they're looking at the projections, they understand that the numbers were heavily miscalculated, and they're just not partaking in this mind warp that's going on, right? So you have that, it's mentality. You have people that watch CNN, they look at the television, they look at the ticker, and there's Don Lemon telling everybody to be afraid, and they're being afraid, and they're following procedures and protocol and mandates that aren't even law. And then there are people out there that are being threatened with being arrested if they don't partake in the mandates. So you just have, it all comes down to caliber of person. You know, like, some people want to be controlled. Some people don't want to think for themselves, and they need to be told, hey, that's your left sock, now put on your right sock. So, and a lot of us, we don't fall into that category. Now, listen, I'm not saying that COVID-19 is not real. I'm not saying that people aren't being exposed to it and that things are happening. I personally know a few people that have got it. I even know a couple of people that have passed away from it. So I get that, but the numbers aren't what they say they were. Now, my next question would be, should I be scared to go to the hospital? Because I feel that I hear that there's incentives for for basically the, I don't want to go too deep, but I feel like there's a girl literally saying what I on Instagram. I just watched her video where she's breaking down what I already knew, which is like hospitals are being paid for people being toe tagged COVID-19. So there's a lot of weird going out there. You know, there's a lot of weird.
Yeah. And that's the old big pharmaceutical program where you give doctors big kickbacks for prescribing, you know, pharmaceutical drugs, and then they get rich, and then the pharmaceutical companies get rich, the insurance companies get rich, you get screwed over, but you never even knew it happened. But you know, let's talk about, you mentioned the mom and pops. I mean, we're kind of at a point now, you know, Lowe's is packed, Walmart's are packed, the big stores are packed, but the independently owned stores, the mom and pops, the single family stores, I mean, these are all out of business right now. Are they ever going to come back? I mean, is anybody even considering this?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, well, listen, there's a lot of things to consider, but you're absolutely right. I have a friend that works for a bank, right? They work for a different department. They're not in the bank. They're not like a teller or anything like that. And they're doing a lot, processing a ton of SBA loans. Now, this is for payroll, however. So, like, you can get these loans from the government. They're SBA loans, and they're forgivable loans as well, as long as you actually use this money to continue payroll. One of the biggest obstacles that they're actually facing right now is that the employees are making more money through the stimulus check, the children's stimulus check, and unemployment in a short, you know, timeline than what the company would actually pay them. So you're literally I've watched videos of this where people are asking their governor, like, what should I do in this situation? Because they don't even want to continue being paid. For me, they want the unemployment. So the governor's response in verbatim was, maybe you should pay the employee more. So then the business owner then asked the governor, so at what point in time are we bringing this to an end as far as like the benefits or whatever that's happening, that, you know, the care package that you're giving out during this time or whatever? He basically said it wasn't. And like, he was like, well, no, I mean, what I'm asking is when does the unemployment end? He's like, it's not. And I was just like blown away for a minute. I was like, wait a minute, what? It has to end at some point, right? But then I think about Fauci talking about how this is going to come back in the fall, et cetera. So there's a lot of things happening. I think a lot of people are going to go out of business. Like we were talking about farming before. I think there's a lot more to that than meets the eye. I think there's an import-export deal that's been worked out somewhere along the way. And, you know, they're trying to eliminate livestock producing here in America. Is just one of the hints that I got from what I've gathered from it. But businesses, I don't know if any of us are going to recoup. I don't think anybody actually understands the financial blowback, the devastation that's going to end up coming from this whole ordeal. I don't know how long the government anticipates $1,200 to last a person, but I don't suspect it's going to be 3 months. I mean, by the time this is said and done, we've already got Democrat mayors and whatnot using verbiage to basically elude the idea that this is going to continue to the end of this year. So,
and if you don't take a vaccine, you can't be free. Outlaw Morgan, where can people find your work?
You can find me at outlawmorgan.com. You can also find me on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Just search for Outlaw Morgan.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there he is, Outlaw Morgan. Thank you so much for joining us. When we come back, Andrew Torba, founder of Gab, is going to be joining us. Of course, you see the censorship online. Gab is one of those outlets that they don't censor yet.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
We are in a war for America. This is the War Room.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
So much going on right now, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's tough to say where to begin and where to end. It all seems to be rotating around one singular issue, but so many issues are now intertwined with it, including internet censorship. Now, we all know about the internet censorship that's been going on for a while. I don't need to sit here exercising redundancy and talking about that. But some of the big new censorship things that we're seeing, well, one is the documentary Pedogate 2020, part two, coming soon. But that's a story for another day. The big one that everybody is noticing, Twitter and YouTube and everybody censoring coronavirus information that they don't like. For example, two doctors in California laying out all the facts about coronavirus and then calling for the reopening of the economy. You see, Twitter and Facebook and Google and YouTube and all these people want the United States economy to collapse. They want the U.S. economy to die. So you shouldn't want to do business with them. And we all fall short of that. And I think we all do. Maybe in time we'll be perfect, but I doubt it. But the point is there are alternatives out there. And Andrew Torba created one of them, Gab. So I have a Gab account. I know that this show has a Gab account. You can get on Gab as well. And they're not going to censor you. But this isn't really about plugging Gab for what it is. I think it's about, Andrew, for me, knowing what is in store for Gab's future, which I know you have a lot of things going on behind the scenes. But, you know, the good thing about Gab is what you've done is you've innovated in a way to make Gab a resource for the modern day. For example, you saw Twitter censoring and shadow banning. You said, I'll make a platform that competes with Twitter. You then saw that the Drudge Report was kind of going a little sideways. So you guys created Gab Trends, which is where a lot of people go for news aggregation. And I know you got some other things down the pipeline, but you know, when you see Twitter censoring information that's just raw information from doctors on coronavirus, and you see YouTube purging these videos, I mean, what goes through your head?
Well, you know, about 4 years ago, I was living and working in Silicon Valley, and I kind of got some foresight into all of this before it all started happening. And that's what inspired me to start building solutions so that today people do have a viable alternative. And like you mentioned, we started out as just a Twitter alternative. That was phase one. Now we have a web browser, we have a news curation system, we have an encrypted chat system, and we're about to launch a video communication system, an alternative to Zoom, alternative to Google Hangouts, etc. So what we're building here, and all of these products work together for one simple mission, to enable people to speak freely, right? And to provide an American-based alternative that is built by Americans, owned by Americans, and you know, is a viable alternative to Silicon Valley's tech tyranny. You know, I see a lot of people that are transitioning over to TikTok now, right? As an alternative to big tech tyranny. So on the one hand, you got Silicon Valley tyranny, and on the other hand, you got Chinese TikTok tyranny. And I don't know, Owen, frankly, which is worse. I don't want to be on any of the platforms. So that's why I started building, you know, alternatives that people can use that are based in America. That again are built by Americans and funded and owned by Americans as well. We don't have, you know, any outside big venture capitalist investors. We don't have any big corporate sponsors. Gab for almost 4 years now has been fully funded by our users, which are our people. So normal, everyday, you know, working class, blue collar people that just simply want an alternative to these big tech platforms. So the future for Gab is great. You know, we have over 4 million people that are using our products every month. We're exploding in growth now with these lockdowns. I wish it was under better circumstances, but there is a positive here. We are growing and people are becoming more aware and seeking out alternatives. You know, you see this crazy stuff, like you mentioned, YouTube today announced that they're bringing a fact-checking panel to all of their searches, all of the YouTube searches in the United States. We see Twitter announcing new censorship crackdowns on pretty much anything that goes outside of, you know, quote-unquote authoritative sources, what they're saying on the coronavirus. And who are the authoritative sources? That's the biggest. It's not the President of the United States. It's not the United States government. It's actually the WHO, right? So that's who YouTube, that's who Twitter, that's who Facebook, that's who they're all going to as an authoritative source on this pandemic. It's not even our own government. They're, you know, these are American companies run by American citizens, allegedly. And they're citing globalist sources, these globalist sources as the de facto, you know, source of truth of information on this stuff. That is who they're going to. That is who they're turning to, which is really scary. I want no part of it. I don't care what the WHO says. I want to be able to research things on my own. I want to be able to talk about things on my own. I want to be able to watch, you know, videos like from these doctors that are being censored this week on YouTube. You know, I should be able to communicate about these things and at least talk about them, you know, without permission from some corporation or from some globalist organization like the WHO.
Well, and the WHO, the WHO was wrong. They were wrong about their stats. But, you know, when right. You talk about you know, the censorship boards at YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. It's funny because I had a scene pop into my head of what it actually might look like. And like a Saturday Night Live skit, like, can you imagine like it's a four person panel of like the actual Twitter censors. It's like, so a tweet goes down the line and the first one is like the Snopes lady with her hair all like crazy and like purple and green. And she's like licking her cat and she's like, yeah, and she like coughs up a hairball. And then it moves on to like, you're just total beta cuck, like crunched over, just like scheming. Just like, and then there's like a fat goblin creature in like a Bernie hat, just like, screw that guy, you know. I mean, this is who their censorship boards honestly are. I mean, so it's like, we joke about this, but these are the literal people that they have reporting tweets to them. And I'm not trying to get off on a jag, because the reason why I wanted to get you on, it's just another innovation that you guys are doing with your new video platform. So Zoom comes out, and what do we find out? Well, Zoom is compromised by China. And of course, the Microsoft Bill Gates Corporation. What did I tell you? There's your beta cuck, and then there's your little cat lady there. So Zoom comes out, Microsoft, end the world population, forced vaccines. You know, he wants his. Oh, so you know, Bill Gates gets to profit massively off the man-made virus that he has his fingerprints all over, and then his video platform. So you said, no. We're going to have an alternative, made in America by Americans. So, I mean, just talk about your video platform that you're doing, really, to kind of directly compete with Zoom. I guess that's kind of the idea.
Right. So Zoom has been around for a few years now, and they have some very shady connections to China. They have over 700 employees in China. They openly admit it to routing call data through Chinese servers. A lot of shady stuff on the privacy end. So I saw this going on, and you know, their active users went from, I think, 10 million to, I think, 300 million in the course of like 2 months during this lockdown. So you have, you know, American churches, you have government officials, you have schools, all using this software that is essentially Chi-Com spyware. Like, let's just call it what it is. So I said, I'm not going to stand here and watch this happen. So, you know, about a month ago, we started building this. And to build a video conferencing platform is not an easy task, but our guys put it together in about a month, and we're going to be going live into beta with it this week. So we're really excited to just offer people an alternative. And our users are really excited about this, because we have users who, you know, are teachers that are teaching their kids on this this Chi-Com spyware. We have people that are using this for church to gather. So they don't want to be using this software. They don't want to be using this Chi-Com software to communicate and to stay connected during this lockdown. And I believe that, you know, this is going to be really the future of work, the future of school, the future of medicine is this teleconferencing. You know, I think a lot of people are going to be pretty shaken by this for many years to come. So we want to just offer an alternative that is, again, based in America, built by Americans, and isn't going to censor speech that is critical of the Chinese government, for example, or any of this other stuff that goes outside of the mainstream narrative. So that's what we're working on. And we got beta coming out this week.
And the founder doesn't want to force vaccinate you so that you can get your freedoms back. Isn't that refreshing? All right, we'll be right back.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Final segment for me on the InfoWars War Room is Raw. Andrew Torba still with us. We're going to have Tom Papert from National File taking over next. And I want to thank the audience, as always, for supporting us at InfoWarsStore.com, keeping us on air, keeping me employed. And hey, yeah, I get censored everywhere, not by Gab, of course, but so it's nice to have Gab with Andrew Torba around. It's nice to have you supporting us at InfoWarsStore.com so that we can continue to have this platform and launch others. And, you know, this is the mothership, folks. I mean, this is the mothership where we go to give Andrew Torba a platform so that he can market and he can build and he can create and so many others. And so that's why this is such a synchronicitous thing here. And that's why InfoWars has become the mothership. So can't thank you enough for supporting us and doing your shopping at InfoWarsStore.com. You know, Andrew, I've actually got some news. You know, Andrew stays up to date on news as well. So let's comb through Andrew's brain some of the news stories. Just, you know, Andrew, what do you make of the coronavirus shutdown? Because to me, at this point, I think I've coined this new saying. I may not be the first to say it. I'm not claiming I am. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. But fear, logic is dead. Fear is king. There's no logic behind our approach and response to the coronavirus anymore. There's only fear. And it's amazing. It seems that this is the way of the future. And it breaks my heart. I don't want the world to go this way. I don't want the future to be this way. Are you seeing it that way too? And how do we resist this?
Well, I'm actually viewing it through a more positive lens. I see this as acceleration of the great awakening of people, right? People are spending more time with their families now, including myself. People are spending more time with God. They're opening up that Bible, dusting off the Bible. So I see this actually as a positive thing. I think people are slowing down and realizing that, hey, not everything that I'm seeing on mainstream media is the truth. Not everything that I'm seeing on the internet is the truth. Not everything that our governments are telling us is the truth. So I'm actually trying to remain positive and turn this immensely negative historical situation here into a positive. Now, of course, what this is about is ultimately about stopping the president, any means necessary, even if it means destroying the economy, even if it means, locking people in their homes, forcing people to stay in their homes, forcing people to wear masks to go to the grocery store. This tyranny has transformed from just the internet, which is what we've been seeing over the past couple of years. The tyranny was online, right? Censoring information, censoring the flow of information, censoring different news that wasn't approved by our thought police. But now it's transitioning into the real world, which is scary. But I don't have fear, because we have to remember that we have God on our side. So the victory has already been won, no matter what happens down here on Earth. The victory has already been won for us. But what we need to do is really collect ourselves now and say, is this a type of world that we want to live in? You know, this fear-based world that you're talking about. And it's not one that I want my daughter to grow up in, for example. So, you know, we have to really consider what's going on here. And that's, you know, one of the biggest reasons why I'm building Gab and why we're building these alternatives is so that people can get access to information that they're not going to get on YouTube, that they're not going to get on Twitter, that they're not going to get on Facebook, because it's being buried. It's being banned. It's being shadow banned. It's being censored, etc. Having a place where you can speak freely and get access to information that you're not going to find anywhere else is crucial now more than ever. So that's part of what is inspiring me every day to get up and our whole team to get up and work, 12 to 14 hour days grinding to make Gab a reality and to provide people with a viable alternative where they can come and speak freely. So that's my thought process on it. I'm trying to remain positive here.
Yeah. And, I think that there are going to be a lot of silver linings to this. I mean, politically, if you look at the history, this is all going to blow back on the Democrats and hopefully be a huge win for Trump, but more importantly, a huge win for America. You know, and I will say, too, you know, the times when I'm the most calm, I guess you could say, I can't say at ease, but calm, is when I do just sit back and remember that God, the creator of all this, has already run through this a trillion times. The plan is already in place. We're just living through it. And I feel that, you know, the anger, though, that I exhibit a lot is really just God's vengeance, because God is vengeful and there will his enemies will be vanquished. And they're more clear now than ever, which is kind of another silver lining. But, you know, it's kind of like the other night, you know, I got attacked because I went to this rally for a guy who got shot by police to death in Austin, Texas. His name was Mike Ramos. No one else was covering it because, see, here's how it works, too. It's kind of just going off on a sidetrack here. But in fact, I'll ask you, Andrew, have you ever heard of Mike Ramos?
No, I haven't heard this story. Fill me in.
So exactly. So it's a lot similar to you've probably heard of Mike Brown, Michael Brown, Ferguson, Missouri, right?
Right.
So this is just kind of an example of what goes on behind the scenes in media, folks, and then how it gets interpreted to the world. The average listener out there, Andrew's never heard of Mike Ramos. Mike Ramos was shot to death by police in Austin, Texas. I believe it was last Thursday night, maybe. I don't have the exact date in front of me, but he gets shot to death by police. Now, nobody ever heard about this. It didn't make national news, didn't make CNN. Nobody's heard about this. But if you recall, obviously, Mike Brown, when he was shot in Ferguson, Missouri, just north of St. Louis, that was nationwide news. Everybody was there. CNN was on the scene 24/7 for weeks. Exactly. Right. And you're saying, well, why is that? What is the difference? Well, folks, there really is no difference other than one thing. Mike Brown's incident with police was not on camera. Mike Ramos' incident on police was on camera. So there can be no twisting. There can be no bending of the facts. There can be no narrative creation and hype and hysteria when there's a video. So they never covered Mike Ramos, and they all covered Mike Brown. So it shows you that's just a window in to how mainstream media picks and chooses its stories. And it's all about creating narrative and then building it out over a time span to keep you on the edge of your seat. Now, here's a story that I don't think we'll see on the liberal news side, but maybe they're going to have to come to terms with this. The fact that Joe Biden has a credible sexual assault allegation against him with multiple evidence, examples of evidence with TV shows and phone calls and neighbors and all of this stuff and times and dates. Do you think, I mean, because the story at the headline on the Wall Street Journal is leading Democrats stand behind Biden after sexual assault allegations. So what happened to Me Too? What happened to Believe All Women? Are these people really that shallow, that hollow, that superficial, that fraudulent, that they'll just pull the whole Me Too movement behind them as soon as Biden becomes the candidate?
They ultimately have no principles. You know, like you said, it's all about weaving narratives. It's all about pushing an agenda. It's all about control. You know, for generations now, they've been able to literally program people through the television. Right. And there's two or three major corporations that control the flow of information, the control of news for the whole population. The Internet came along and changed all of that. And they're trying to replicate that same power, that same control with, you know, these two or three Internet companies, Facebook, Twitter, Apple, Google, etc. They're trying to replicate that. But what they don't realize is that the Internet was built to route around censorship. The Internet was built so that people like me and people like our team and our company and our community can come together and build an alternative that they cannot stop. And they tried, trust me, just like they tried to take down InfoWars, they tried to take down us. And what happened? We're only growing stronger because we have something that they don't have. We have authentic support from real people. They may have all the money in the world. They may have all the human resources in the world, all the top engineers in the world to build the best products, the app stores to distribute their products, et cetera, et cetera. But we have the people. And we have truth. And again, we have God on our side. And I think, you know, going back to that topic a little bit, I think that Christians are starting to wake up. I think many Christians have been sort of sleepwalking through history for many decades now and, you know, became very passive and very soft-spoken about their faith. We are commanded to speak boldly about our faith. We are commanded to speak boldly about Jesus Christ. And I think people are going to start really considering that. And they're going to start speaking up more and more and openly talking about their faith. It's become a taboo in our culture. It's become something that you don't talk about, right? Or you're weird if you talk about that. Well, no more, because we're realizing now that the government is preventing us from going to church. That's a luxury that we have here in the United States of America. Christians in China don't have that luxury. They don't have that freedom. They don't have that liberty. So perhaps Christians are going to self-evaluate during this lockdown and start, you know, speaking more boldly about their faith and about Jesus Christ going forward.
All right, Andrew Torba, thank you so much for being on. Again, tell people where they can get involved with Gab or your new video platform.
Go to gab.com and we'll be shooting out an email and letting people know about the beta for our Zoom alternative this week.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. All right, thank you to Andrew Torba. Thank you to all the great guests. Thank you to the crew. I am going to check out Tom Papert is taking over. He's got great guests lined up as well. A lot coming up this week. You may see me again. In the meantime, you stay classy, Info Warriors.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
American receiving this transmission, you are free. I repeat, you are free.
We're patrolling the streets. We're going to get you. We're the boogeyman. It's like, we don't take that here in America.
No.
The people that gave us all this freedom, paid for in blood, were not driven or shut down by fear. It was courage. It was bravery. What happened to Americans? What happened to American grit? This is American grit. This is InfoWars. This is the War Room crew. We're out here.
Shad Sullivan, regional director of RCALF USA, is a fifth-generation Colorado rancher and recently delivered this message.
Hey, everybody. This is Shad Sullivan coming to you from the headwaters of Bitter Creek, Archer County, North Texas. We have to talk. State officials will be assisting to help identify potential alternative markets if a producer is unable to move animals and, if necessary, advise and assist on depopulation and disposal methods. Ladies and gentlemen, we are plowing under vegetable crops from coast to coast. We are euthanizing millions of chickens. We are aborting sows and burying feeder pigs. We are dumping milk by the hundreds of thousands of gallons, and now they are preparing us to depopulate the fat cattle ready to harvest because of a bottleneck created by the effects of COVID. This thing hasn't been created by COVID, but the effects of COVID and the logistics therein. Yesterday, the first shipment of imported beef from the country of Namibia hit the shores of the United States of America. And yet this morning, they are telling us to prepare to euthanize harvest-ready cattle. It is time we get food on the shelves, because if you're not concerned about this food supply problem, you better be. We have a huge supply and demand of food across this nation. We can feed the world ourselves, and yet we're destroying our harvests. At the same time, we are importing beef from other countries, beef that is less regulated than our beef, less safe, not as high quality of product, and yet it's happening. At the same time, they are preparing for us to euthanize our harvests. That doesn't sound like sustainability to me, but it is part of the overall goal to vertically integrate your food system. You see, they cannot have control of the people unless they have control of the food, the water, the land, production. It is time we get back to work. We are of, by, and for the people. This is not Nancy Pelosi's country. This is not Donald Trump's country. This is your country, and you're going to go hungry.
And while American farmers are destroying their harvests, U.S. beef is exported to China. U.S. meat plants are closing at a rapid rate, including Cargill Meat, who supplies 22% of the U.S. meat market, and who partnered with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in 2018 to end livestock production while expanding the production of genetically modified soy in Africa. Reporting for InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
When it comes to rebuilding your energy, convenience is key. While coffee, candy, and other sugary products can give you a short boost, the crash can leave you more tired than ever. Turbo Force from InfoWars Life is a powerful mix-in energy packet that utilizes vitamins, amino acids, and extracts used for hundreds of years to provide you focus, clarity, and a boost of energy on the go. Simply take a packet, mix it into the indicated amount of water, and enjoy. With 14 servings per box for a 2-week or more supply, this is the formula to stock up on whenever you need a boost. Perfect for work, in the car, or at home. Turbo Force is the ultimate answer to a sluggish day. Don't let your day slow you down.
Welcome back to the War Room. I I'm Tom Papert, editor-in-chief of nationalfile.com, filling in for Owen on this last hour. And we've got some coronavirus news, of course, but I would be remiss if I didn't take this opportunity to discuss the biggest piece of news National File has broken, at least in the last, 60 or so days. And once again, it is thanks to none other than the one, the only, Patrick Howley, our senior reporter, who is one of the most well-respected reporters out there, formerly a Daily Caller, formerly a Breitbart, formerly at the Free Beacon, now reports for National File. And this is a doozy. So, Patrick Howley, welcome to the show. You have made Stacey Abrams, the woman who still believes she is governor of the state of Georgia, you have made her life a little bit complicated in the past couple days. Patrick, can you tell us about it?
Tom, we've just impeached her from her imaginary office.
Well, I mean, this is really shocking, because what you found in this video from 2014 that just nobody seemed to notice except you, she came out and said what we all have known for years, that the Democrats have their thumb on the scale when it comes to voting. They're trying to use a demographic change in this country through immigration to basically do whatever they want, and they'll be the party in power till the end of time. So, I mean, break this down. What exactly did she say, and what does this mean that it's final, that they're saying it out in the open?
Well, Stacey Abrams in 2014, at a conference called Race Will Win the Race, The Progressive Path to Victory, laid out how she was planning on using the results of the 2020 census to go into redistricting in 2021 in order to marginalize white people and the so-called white conservative coalition. She said that it would be an extremely dangerous precedent, the most dangerous precedent they could set in the South, if, in fact, a white conservative, she said minority coalition, I guess she thought by 2020, the non-white people would be the majority. And obviously that's something that they're looking forward to. So, obviously, look, this is demographic politics. This is something that the establishment does not want to have to admit. And even the Republican establishment will fight you, and they'll call you a racist if you even suggest that the Democrats are doing this. Well, now I have proven once and for all that your worst fears are true. They are, in fact, weaponizing race, and they're trying to divide this country along lines of color.
So, Patrick, I mean, this comes off of thinking back to what was happening in 2014. The status quo was that the Democrats want to bring in immigrants, both illegal and otherwise, because it's the right, lovely humanitarian thing to do. And of course, the Republicans, this was 2 years after we just ran Mitt Romney as the candidate, who was the immigration is an act of love type of Republican. Now, we both know, and there's nothing against lawful legal immigrants who want to come here and assimilate into this country, but we know that that's generally not what happens. They do not vote for policies that are American. It's what we see when Californians move to Texas. I know our viewers know all about that. They immediately vote for everything that made California a terrible, terrible place to live, and they do it in their new place that they had to move to because they just ruined the old one. So Patrick, what is the blowback from this been like for Abrams? I mean, the story has gone mega viral this month. You did a fantastic job, as always. What's the blowback been like for Ms. Abrams?
Well, the blowback is it's not too good. And obviously, I think it's a lot harder for Joe Biden to run for office if he's got somebody on the ticket who is very clearly hostile to white people. And we're going to have, I mean, the mask is off. If she hates white people and she wants to destroy white people and she wants to prevent white people from governing, then the Joe Biden share of the white vote, I think, I dare say, it might go down. But you mentioned the establishment Republicans. The establishment Republicans seem to have this idea that the way to win elections is to convince the left and the media that they are, in fact, just as liberal as the Chuck Todd folks here that you see on the screen, and that, therefore, the leftist media should like them. And so the Republicans go out of their way to show instances of diversity, instances of being kind, perhaps, to illegal immigrants, instances of saying that we're the party of legal immigration. And this kind of kindness, which is cynical in and of itself, is completely and utterly laughed at and scorned by the Democrats, who are racial Maoists. And they seek to destroy the United States of America. And so really, the Republicans are completely out of touch if they think that this is not happening. And, you know, this is a big red pill moment, I think, for everyone, which is, you know, the Republicans really can't say anymore, and the Democrats really can't say that this is not the plan of the Democrat Party. They are, in fact, racial Maoists. There's racial agitation that's going on in the country. And if you see the clip right there, I don't know if you want to show it, but she, I mean, I'm showing people what these people think and what these people are doing in their own words. So you don't even have to believe me anymore. The Daily Beast wants to say I'm a conspiracy theorist or this and that. And Media Matters has literally an entire tag on their site with my name on it. Well, that's all fine and good. How about I just show you clip after clip of their people saying exactly what it is that they're doing? And I'm going to continue to do that, of course.
You know, you make a brilliant point, Patrick, because for years they've said that this is a conspiracy theory, that Democrats are not trying to use demographics. And now we know redistricting to retell the story of the country, essentially. But we have it from the horse's mouth. I mean, let's for any viewers and listeners who haven't seen it or heard it, let's go ahead and play that clip with audio.
And the third thing is that we have to do this every day. This is not an election year issue. 2014 is critical, but 2015 is also really important. And 2016 and 2017, 2018, because my focus is on 2021. I know Representative Fudge said we can't look past 2014. I'm focusing here, but my eye is on 2021, because when we do redistricting in 2021, if we have not changed the electorate, especially in the South, we will have a majority-minority population that is governed by a minority white conservative coalition. And that's the most dangerous precedent that we could possibly set for the South in the next 20 years.
It really raises a lot of questions. You know, how is this dangerous? Is this the narrative that all white people are evil and want to incarcerate and kill black people? I mean, that's not true. Is it the narrative that and what is this? I mean, Patrick, I have so many questions here, and I would be completely understandable if you don't even have the answers. But what exactly is she talking about? Is she talking about a 49% white population and then a 25% Hispanic and 26% black? Like what on earth? What are we even talking about when she's talking about this demographic change and the redistricting?
Right, exactly. She's talking about redistricting based on this year's census, which, of course, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez went all in promoting, trying to get as many people to sign up for the census. This, by the way, is Stacey Abrams, who pushed the United States and our republic to the brink of collapse, really, a constitutional crisis in the Georgia gubernatorial race, by refusing to concede and continuing to find these provisional ballots after Election Day, suing, disparaging the American election system, claiming in her fantasy mind that she is somehow the governor of Georgia instead of Brian Kemp. And this is the kind of stuff that, you know, I have been taking on because it's the reality of the political situation and what needs to be exposed. And obviously, the Republican establishment, for some reason, is not engaged with this. And so, you know, my only message to them really is get out of my way and just don't make this harder between now and November 3rd, because we need to get President Donald Trump elected. And at the very least, since you're not going to do anything, since Ronna McDaniel, these people are obviously not going to do anything because they have no value, they have no worth. At the very least, just don't try to be overly politically correct, or try to come after me or attack me or try to impede my efforts in some way, because I'm just telling you right now, if you guys get thrown out in November the 3rd, the party's over. There's no more happy hours for you. There's no more CNN hits for you. It's all over. The Republican Party is all over. So at the very least, Ronna and the folks, just leave me to my own devices and let me do what I need to do to expose the truth and win this election. Thank you.
Well, Patrick, you bring up a fantastic point there, which is that the Republicans don't seem to understand the direness of the situation they're in. I mean, we are at a point where mail-in voting is becoming the de facto thing to do because of this virus that is now turning out to be nowhere near as deadly as we were told it was, oh, I don't know, 7 days ago. Or if you listen to Fauci today, he's probably still saying we're all going to die from it. So when we come back, because you've been instrumental in exposing what vote by mail really means and how it can be used by people like Abrams to destroy the election, the integrity, it's totally gone. Basically, get whatever results you want. I think we saw some of this back in 2018 when it was like 2 weeks after the election. Oh, we found another box of votes. It was in the basement of the book suppository. It's been there for a while. We don't know how long, but we got to count them. So hold on while we count these votes. And magically, all of these Republicans lost after they found these mail-in votes. So don't go away. We are watching The War Room. I'm here with Patrick Howell, Tom Pappert, editor-in-chief of National File. We'll be right back after this short break.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
back to the War Room. I'm Tom Pappert, editor-in-chief of National File, filling in for Owen here with Patrick Halley, who's, of course, a senior reporter for National File. We're talking Stacey Abrams admitting full out back in 2014 that she wants to use demographics and redistricting to retell the story of this country, to make it her version of the country. And, Patrick, I want to get into voter fraud and through this mail-in ballot scheme that the Democrats have cooked up and the Republicans are on board with. But before that, let's keep talking about why it's so important to really put Stacey on notice right now, because just a week ago, she basically came out and said that if Joe Biden doesn't pick her to be her vice presidential nominee, then he's a racist. I mean, that's almost verbatim what came out of her mouth. It was funny at the time. I thought it was a joke. Then you come and do this and the whole world has changed. But you also exposed, before you published this most recent article, that Stacey Abrams apparently went to Bilderberg in 2019. So do you believe, or do we have reason to maybe suspect that she's been groomed and this is all part of her big rise to power?
Oh, of course, there's no question about it. I knew that in Georgia in 2018. You know, if you think about it, there's really no way for people in our society nowadays, the way it's structured, to rise unless they claim victimization and they accuse people of other kinds of things. This is why we see snitching become such a phenomenon during the coronavirus crisis. And in fact, I want to give a shout out to the Patriot of the Week in St. Louis County, Jared Tosh, who used the Sunshine Law to get the names of more than 900 St. Louis snitches who were reporting people to the government for not social distancing. And when asked if they might lose their jobs, Jared said, "I'd call it poetic justice, instant karma, a dose of their own medicine. What goes around comes around." See, that's a good patriot right there. The snitching has gotten out of control. There's Karen on Karen snitching. There's snitching all over the place, because the only way you can rise, if you've worked in the corporation and you see the people who go into management, is by snitching on others, accusing people of doing things, trying to use leverage of victimization, lawsuits, this kind of thing. That's the only way that serfs can gain agency over other serfs in our society, because, of course, everyone is in the serf class except a small handful of people who make all the decisions and have all of the world's wealth. So this kind of politics of victimization has basically been unstoppable, mainly because the Republican Party of Reince Priebus, Sean Spicer, Ron McDaniel, and these people is a party of professional losers. They don't know what's going on, and they end up making a fool of themselves on Dancing with the Stars. That's, I guess, the ultimate goal that these professional Republicans have for themselves. It's certainly not saving the country. So the politics of victimization has been a runaway freight train, and it's been a runaway freight train to the FEMA camp for the rest of us.
I there's something about all of it, Patrick, that just strikes me as right out of North Korea, where, of course, they have people, a good portion of the populace is paid to follow around and snitch on their neighbors, people on the bus, everybody, anybody. And then that, of course, impacts their social credit score. We're starting to see the same thing happening in China. And now all it took was the China virus for this to really come to the forefront, whereas it was always in the background before here in the United States. But now it's really in the forefront. And I saw that same exact story and I couldn't agree more. I mean, these snitches, I'm not going to say they deserve to get stitches, of course, but there was, of course, I believe it was the California governor who came out and said, "In this, you've heard the expression, snitches get stitches." Well, not here. Now, snitches get rewards. I mean, it's just bold-faced. They're telling us exactly what's happening for anybody able to kind of look forward. So, Patrick, you have an article up that there is a victory in Illinois. They overturned the stay-at-home order. They wanted to extend it, I think, till the June, and then they were saying it might be July, and it just kept going and going and going and going and going, and the lawsuit has overturned it. Now, does this give us reason to be optimistic, or is this a fluke? Are we going to be – you know, they want us locked down until 2029, I guess. I don't know, till the end of time. So what's going to happen with this?
Well, Darren Bailey is a good man. Darren Bailey is a Republican state representative. And Darren Bailey is the kind of guy, presumably, who wants to go outside. Maybe wants to go to a park. Maybe wants to, I don't know, throw a Frisbee. Perhaps go to Dunkin' Donuts. Kind of live his life. Allow people to work. Allow people to go back to work. Of course, we've lost millions upon millions of jobs in the last few weeks. This is a black mark in history. It's one of the darkest episodes of complete and utter government incompetence and tyranny that we've ever seen in the history of the United States of America. And our country will be worse off for it permanently. But This man, Darren Bailey, says, you know, I'm going to sue to challenge this stay-at-home order from Governor Pritzker. Now, Governor Pritzker of the Pritzker family is a billionaire oligarch, and he is the governor of Illinois now. And so this man, Darren Bailey, won, and he won for himself. But other people can join the lawsuit or sue on their own with this precedent. The judge ruled that the governor is blocked, quote, from in any way enforcing the March 20th executive order against Darren Bailey, forcing him to isolate and quarantine in his home. So Darren Bailey can go outside, okay? Now, in response, this apparently enrages Governor Pritzker. Governor Pritzker does not want Darren Bailey going outside. He wants Darren Bailey locked down in his house. And so the governor proclaims, quote, history will remember those who put politics aside to come together to keep people safe. It will also remember those who so blindly devoted to ideology and the pursuit of personal celebrity that they made an enemy of science and of reason. So the governor has announced that he will be appealing Darren Bailey's freedom in an attempt to overturn this decision and put Darren Bailey back in his house. So obviously we're very plugged in. We're very tuned in to this battle between Darren and the billionaire oligarch governor of Illinois, who is determined to keep Darren Bailey from going outside.
And Patrick, it's such a fascinating story that they're seeing that their power is not absolute, but they're not willing to admit that it's not absolute, because in the mind of Pritzker, he is God. That seems to be the commonality here. We have many Mussolinis all around this country who believe that their word is the official. They are the law. They are the state. They're all Napoleon Bonaparte now. And they're being told, in this case at least, that no, you are not God. You do not get to decide who is allowed to go outside, who is allowed to go to the Starbucks, who is allowed to go, I mean, I guess not the store. Everybody can go to the store. I've never seen more people at Home Depot and Lowe's in my life. But I really like this article, because it seems to expose that this is all about control. Where is this going to go? Because we're seeing these control freaks all across the country. In the last minute or so we have here, where do you think this is going to go?
Well, I think this is going to go in the direction of a state-by-state constitutional issue, whereby you'll see Georgia reopening. But then again, you have municipalities within Georgia. The Savannah Police Department, for instance, was using an authority drone to go around and enforce social distancing. So it's going to be really a big, massive, chaotic puzzle of, you know, who has power over who. And if you think about it, the entire system over the last 30 years, which has been governed by these idiots, which has been totally filled every single position with the most moronic, self-centered, corrupt people in our society. And now we have to try to fix it, even though everything has been rigged by idiocy. We truly do live in an idiocracy in which everyone is a junior tyrant. And so every junior tyrant is going to try to impose their tyranny over everyone else. And we're just going to have a big melee. And that's the tenor of the times. But I'm focused on navigating through that melee and making sure that President Donald Trump scores a pretty big victory on November the 3rd.
You know, Patrick, I think you're totally right. And in the next segment, we're going to get into this voter catastrophe, mail-in voting. But just to back Patrick up, in my county, it's illegal to go to the store. But the next county over, 30 minutes to the north, I was able to go into an electronics store over the weekend. That's, of course, a joke, because I would never break the law. I love my city government. We'll be right back after this break with Patrick Halley to talk about how mail-in fraud on the ballots could destroy us.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. This broadcast contains subject matter that might offend liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
This is the War Room, and I'm Tom Papert, editor-in-chief, nationalfile.com, filling in for Owen for the rest of this broadcast, still here with Patrick Halley. And I was just listening in the break, and I heard Alex talking about the new hand sanitizer that you can get at InfoWarsStore.com. And I thought, my God, they're geniuses. I mean, when all this started happening in January, when we first started covering it, I thought, I'm going to go get canned goods. I'm going to go get bags of rice. I'm going to go get things that are shelf stable that I will be able to keep for a long amount of time. I wasn't thinking hand sanitizer, believe it or not. I got hand soap, but now we don't have hand sanitizer. And for the past months on end, you haven't been able to find it. So I am very excited that it's now available at InfoWarsStore.com. I cannot wait to try it. And I promise when I do, I will be back to give you a full review. It sounds absolutely ingenious. And I love the fact that it's not going to dry out my hands. That's the other thing. I feel like I'm a doctor. I have chapped hands from washing my hands every 30 seconds like the government instructs me to do. So InfoWarsStore.com, that's a very exciting product. But Mr. Patrick Howley, of course, is the National File senior reporter who is just getting bombshell after bombshell. I'm so very glad that you exist, Patrick. And you, of course, were the guy who exposed Blackface Baby Killer. I can't believe that was so long ago. It feels like it was just yesterday. That's, of course, Klan Robes Governor Ralph Northam, who famously wore either Blackface or Klan Robes in his medical school yearbook. Well, now he's pushing, as you know, he's pushing this stay-at-home order until the end of time. There's no end date in sight. He's using it as an opportunity to finish off what's left of the Second Amendment in the great state of Virginia, and he's pushing vote by mail. Well, there's a Republican even in Virginia who is agreeing with him to do vote by mail. His name is Scott Taylor. He is a failed Republican candidate who just kind of wanders around looking for an office that he can get money to run for. And now he's telling his would-be voters, please vote by mail. Go ahead and vote by mail for me. It'll be great. Patrick, this seems incredibly ill-advised. This seems like it's going to ramp up voter fraud like we've never seen before. Why is the GOP – is it that big of a threat, first of all? And then second, why isn't the GOP doing anything about it?
Well, it's certainly a big threat because there's basically no way of determining who is sending in the ballots. The ballots will continue coming in after Election Day. That's the whole point. The Election Day will happen and they'll say, well, we haven't counted all the mail-in votes yet. And it will just keep going and keep going and keep going. As we saw in Georgia in 2018, in which the Republican Party didn't help us at all, the Stacey Abrams campaign was using its resources to run a full round-the-clock campaign-style operation, sending text messages, emails, and phone calls to people in Fulton County, Georgia, asking them, hey, did you fill out a provisional ballot? It's suggesting it may have gotten lost, and trying to find votes in addition to stretching it out with lawsuits. So that's the point of all this. Sadly, we have a situation where we're going to have mail-in voting in Pennsylvania this year. Now, Nancy Pelosi wanted to have a national vote-by-mail mandate in the stimulus bill, and in addition, $4 billion to enforce it. Now, we got that down in the sense that we took out the $4 billion, and the Republicans surrendered $400 million to give to states for election security. So we've given them $400 million for a blank check to do anything they want when it comes to vote counting. But there's no national vote-by-mail mandate, which is what they wanted. And the guy who did that, and I was sounding the alarm, of course. You didn't see Charlie Kirk. You didn't see the Republican establishment sounding the alarm on that because they were desperate to get their Wall Street bailout. Anything that they could possibly do to get the Wall Street bailout over the goal line for their donors, that's what they were doing. Whereas Thomas Massie of the great state of Kentucky was trying to hold it up and say, listen, you pass this bill, you're going to lose the election. And because of his efforts, we were able to get that mandate out of there. It certainly had nothing to do with Turning Point USA, Kevin McCarthy, or these people who speak on behalf of the Republican Party. Of course, Thomas Massie was vilified for this by the Republicans themselves, and Brad Parscale saying that Thomas Massie is the most disliked person in America. Well, Brad, I think you're going to be the most disliked person in America if you lose this election, bud. So why don't you let the people who know what we're talking about do our work? But this is a tough situation here because you have the creeping authoritarianism all over the place. When you saw the FBI raiding in Gretchen Whitmer's state of Michigan in Shelby Township, the health spa that was serving intravenous vitamin C, this is something that Dr. Sheba has been talking about for weeks, intravenous vitamin C. This is something that appears to be helping people. The FBI raided this health spa, raided this facility, which leads us to believe, are we just going to be wandering around like the Mad Max universe, searching for hydroxychloroquine, searching for vitamin C? Are there going to be dealers in the parks? Hey, man, I got some C. I got some C over here. Hey, I got hydroxy. I got hydroxychloroquine. Hey, watch out. CNN reporter. All right, hook me up with the C. This is what we're coming to because the Democrats are determined to prevent people from getting better. They don't want people getting better because if people get better and this thing blows over, then we go back to society and then Trump can have rallies again. And that's seriously what we're doing. That's the reason why this lockdown continues.
Well, and it does seem interesting. First of all, I completely agree. They don't want any of this to work. We also saw Whitsitt, Representative Whitsitt, be censured by the Democrat Party. That's, of course, the woman, the Democrat woman in Detroit who claims that hydroxychloroquine saved her life. And she was censured by the Democrat Party because you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to say anything nice about the drug because Trump said something about it one time. We are truly in a clown world, and it makes absolutely no sense. But I think you hit the nail on the head. This is about making sure that we can't go back to normal before the 2020 election, which is months away still. I mean, it's November, it's creeping up, but that's a long ways off. We have a lot to do between now and then. How do you think, what is the method for maintaining this level of control between now and then? Because I don't think Americans are going to take it. We're seeing more and more rallies. Hey, people are hitting the streets. People are trolling the media. People are desperate to get back to work. And I don't think they're going to take it. So is this what the propaganda about the second hump of the 1918 Spanish influenza? We think everything's fine. We all go back to work. And then, boom, come the fall. Oh, no, we're all dying again. We have to do a lockdown, vote by mail. Is that what they're going to do? How are they going to try to maintain this control?
Well, of course they're going to do that. But, you know, listen, the numbers in New York City where the numbers of deaths are higher than anywhere else. As of Wednesday evening, April 22nd, more than 72% had confirmed underlying conditions. The so-called coronavirus deaths who didn't have underlying conditions, according to the numbers, less than 1%. We are in a clown world. We're in a situation where this disease is, you know, we're told we're bad people if we want to go outside. We're bad people if we want to get people back to work. The economy is being destroyed. The American economy is being destroyed in fundamentally permanent ways. An economic recovery to get back to where we were, even with things rapidly going forward after we get back, it's not going to be fully realized for the next couple of years. And so when you have quisling Republicans, for instance, like Doug Ducey sits on the board of governors of TGen, which does the testing, which receives state money in order to do the testing in Arizona, which keeps the cases, the case numbers going. And this group happens to be an affiliate of one of the groups, City of Hope, that is making a coronavirus vaccine. In late March, they said that their product, their vaccine, was not going to go into clinical trials for another 6 to 8 months. So we are seeing just the most typical, of course, disgusting, but this is, of course, to be expected from our leadership class, from the people who have been managing our society for the last 30 to 50 years. And what a wake-up call it is for younger people to look around and realize how thoroughly idiotic and corrupted every single institution in the United States of America has become in the last few decades. It is now up to us to be able to fight off the tyranny of idiots, the ruling class confederacy of dunces who seek to throw us into FEMA camps and subjugate us. It is up to us to be able to outsmart them. It's very easy to outsmart them. However, we're certainly coming to it from a deficit.
Well, it certainly does explain why certain governors are banning the use of hydroxychloroquine and then being forced to eat their words, almost as though they have a financial stake in waiting until a vaccine comes around. Patrick, in the next segment, I've got a couple articles, a couple new news items that I want to get your perspective on, because you did mention Brad Parscale, who I want to like. He's from Kansas. People from Kansas are good. Just look at National File. We're from Kansas. But I have very, very good reason to believe that he is totally dropping the ball on everything from coronavirus to big tech. And I am worried about this campaign. You, of course, were instrumental in the news and getting Trump elected in 2016. So I want to get your thoughts on what's happening now. We'll be right back. You're watching The War Room.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Right. Welcome back to this final segment of The War Room. I'm Tom Papert here with Patrick Halley, senior reporter for National File. In the last segment, we were talking a little bit about the failings of the Republican Party and even Trump's campaign in some cases. I mean, we all remember, I mean, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago when Brad Parscale came out and told Facebook and Google and Twitter and Apple, you need to quit this campaign interference, this election interference, or else there may be consequences. Well, now here we are. are. We're rapidly approaching the November of this year. The general election is coming up, and none of them seem to have gotten the message. If anything, they're stepping it up. Viewers and listeners of InfoWars know this better than anybody else, but now it's just getting into levels of absurdity. Most of us are now familiar with a parody website called joebiden.info, which is a parody of his official campaign site, and it has videos and images and GIFs of Biden sniffing women's hair and caressing children's faces and doing all sorts of wildly inappropriate things that everybody just seems to think is okay because it's Joe Biden. And it is clearly a parody. They say in the article, this is satire. This is not a parody. This is not Joe Biden's website. I'm not Joe Biden. Say it in about a million different ways. Well, this website has now been banned by both Reddit and Facebook. You are not allowed to post it. You're not allowed to talk about it. You can't send it in a message to somebody because you think it's funny. And what this really is, at least in my opinion, is this is Facebook saying, no, you can't share these embarrassing things about Joe Biden. But you're more than willing to put up fake news about Trump, Trump saying things, fumbling over his words. You're more than welcome to go out and lie and say that President Trump said to inject people with bleach and Clorox. I mean, this is all fine, but you are not allowed to embarrass Joe Biden. So, Patrick, first of all, what do you make of the Biden situation? And then how come nobody is capitalizing on this? How come we're allowing big tech to run the narrative on this and say Joe Biden is just fine? He's not creepy. He's not senile. He's just fine. What is this new level of clown world that we're entering into, and how do we get out of it?
Well, this is a very good question, Tom. The fact of the matter is, I'll just lay it out. The big tech companies in Silicon Valley have a stranglehold on Wall Street. There is the longtime Republican idea that by giving Wall Street whatever they want, that then somehow the folks on Wall Street who donate to the political parties can perform some kind of voodoo ritual and keep the economy going and keep the economy up for everyone else. And as long as the stock market is up, then the approval rating will go with it. It was clear to me that they were going to crash the stock market and damage the economy as much as they possibly could before this election. And other people did not see that coming. That's not what's happened. And so in giving Wall Street everything that they want, we're beginning to understand that Wall Street does not have any responsibility whatsoever to the economy at large or to other people. Wall Street is a profit algorithm that only benefits itself. Major corporations are profit algorithms. They're not people. And that's why even if they only can save, you know, a relatively small amount of money, comparatively speaking, employing, immigrants who come over the border or immigrants who come here legally, as opposed to American citizens, if it's any profit at all, then they'll do it because that is how their systems are designed. And any human functionary, any CEO or executive who says, hey, maybe we should do something that doesn't quite make as much profit this quarter, will be replaced. And this is why you see the constant cycling through of CEOs and corporate executives, because the machine is bigger than any of them. These people don't run their companies. Their companies run themselves and cycle through the human capital. And so you have to understand that in order to understand that Wall Street is draining the life out of the economy of this country. And they are lobbying for the mass immigration that's bringing in a permanent socialist majority that will result in all of these corporations leaving the United States and going to other countries in 2 seconds as soon as it happens. And so you ask yourself, well, what is the logic of that? What is the logic behind corporations lobbying for something that is not in their own interest? And the reason is that there's no logic. It's run by algorithm, and anything that can possibly make profit as opposed to not making profit becomes the policy not only of the corporation but of the government, that because the government serves the corporations. Now, this is a massive, massive problem that prevents the right from having any agency within the leadership class from resisting the communist takeover. And if you call this out, the functionaries and the apparatchiks of the finance world, as represented by the Republican establishment, will attack you as though you're the enemy. And this is a big problem. And so you're seeing the when the Republicans caved to big tech, they're still under the impression that the Wall Street line going up means that the approval rating will go up. And this just isn't the case. Wall Street's been bailed out now. You have a situation where you had people on Wall Street shorting the market, intentionally crashing the market on CNBC, sowing fear and discord, shorting it, making billions of dollars. Meanwhile, you have the middle class economy basically destroyed in irreparable ways going forward. So let this be a lesson. First of all, we can't keep manufacturing everything in China, which is a hostile enemy regime. We can't continue to put America last economically. We can't continue to burden our people with debt that they're never going to be able to pay off. There needs to be economic independence and economic agency. That was a key part of the Trump platform in 2016. Of course, that was before Trump became somebody who is in the governance class with all that that entails. But the people are beginning to look around and realize that this country is not getting better unless we have big changes. And if President Donald Trump is going to be the face of this economy, then he has to realize that he's has a responsibility to push things in a different direction very radically and very quickly.
Patrick Alley, that is amazing insight. I cannot agree more. And I would only add, of course, we all know President Trump is surrounded by enemies. We all know he's receiving bad advice. Many of us know who is giving the bad advice, but we have been well cautioned, I believe, not to ever name names, because then the president will consider us an enemy. It's a very, very strange situation to be in. Patrick Alley, where can folks find you on social media? Of course, you write for National File, but make sure to give you your Twitter out as well.
Holy Reporter is my Twitter, and please follow me there. And I'll have you can also sign up for my email newsletter at holyreports.com. And that will be, whatever happens, I will keep kicking out the jams, and we'll have a good result on November the 3rd. And hey, Ronna McDaniel can take credit all she wants, but let the record reflect she's not doing anything. So, Ronna, stay out of my way, lady, okay?
I love it. And Patrick, maybe next time we talk, you and I can have the thrill of actually having had a haircut. Maybe that this whole insanity will be over, but I'm certainly not holding my breath. Patrick Alley, everyone, thank you so much again for joining us. So you have been watching The War Room. I do just want to very quickly remind everybody that right now is a fantastic time to go to InfoWarsStore.com. Hand sanitizer is unbelievable. I'm very excited about this. I'm going to get off and go order it probably as soon as the show ends. But it's not just that. Of course, now you can get storable food again. Now, when I decided to start getting storable food, I was in that weird period when you couldn't buy from the InfoWars website because it was down, because they ran out. Well, now they've got it back in stock. Of course, all of the other mainstays are still on InfoWarsStore.com. I'm looking right now, 50% off X2. Cannot recommend it enough. There are always a myriad of great deals available there. And it's a good way to improve your general health to take these things. We're now being told by our federal government, by the FBI, that vitamin C isn't good for you. That is essentially what they're saying. We are in upside down clown world. Meanwhile, everybody knows you need vitamin C. Everybody knows you need vitamin D. Everybody knows you need good iodine. Everybody knows that you need these things. Everybody knows that it helps you live a better, healthier life. But you will be demonized for saying so in 2020. Because why? Well, we all have to wait for Bill Gates and his vaccine factories to make life safe for us again. We cannot take our health into our own hands. I will be completely honest. When all of this started, I started to get supplements. Not so I could cure myself, not so I could live an invincible life, but so I could be a little bit healthier while I was shut at home. So I could be a little bit, have a little bit of sanity and clarity of mind when I was going to be shut at home day after day after day, with the only excursions being to the supermarket where there is a million people all at the same time. And of course, here to appear on The War Room and other programs. So this is something that you can do for yourself, for your family, for your health, for your well-being. You can get Brain Force, which of course is a phenomenal boost. I ran out. I found out I had a little packet, a gift packet they sent me that had exactly two in there. Took them, and it was unbelievable. Cannot recommend it enough. InfoWarsStore.com. And of course, you can follow what I do. I'm Real Tom Papert on Twitter, and check out nationalfile.com. This has been The War Room. Owen will be back in studio all day tomorrow. Thank you so much for watching. And as the man always says, stay classy, InfoWarriors.